The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs here at Tab. He helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open, I think. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Generally, this hour is going to get tough. It usually fills up pretty quickly. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us. We're going to go to Ron in Harlington. What's going on, Ron? Ron, you there? I think Ron's listening. Hey, Ron, why don't you pick up? live radio. So the problem is he's listening on his on the radio, not listening on the phone. Ron, you there? Come on, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks hey, good, sir.
My call.
Yeah, what's up?
I got a question about Quicken.
Yeah.
On my backup, I put a CD in there and I back it up. It always worked for me before. But when I do the next month and put that same CD in there, it gives me an error message. But if I put a clean CD on in there, it backs it up.
Right.
Maybe so, somebody out there had that problem or whatever.
No, well, the issue is, I think, that the CD you're using is not a rewritable CD.
No, it's rewritable.
But your recording software or your backup software, there may be a checkbox in there that tells it to close the session. So if the session gets closed, yeah, it doesn't allow you to write any more to the disk.
That's true, too.
Nah, well, what I usually do is just wipe the disk, CD clean and use it again, so I don't have to use a whole bunch of them, but I just can't fill up a disk on every month. It's just the same thing. And maybe somebody out there had a problem, and I'll be listening.
Well, hey, Ron, I would tell you to use a different media. I would tell you to use a thumb drive, a USB stick, and stop using CDs.
Okay.
That way you can plug it right into the USB port. It's going to get a drive letter. I would tell you to buy a couple of these thumb drives. Technically, I'd tell you to buy one for every day of the week. Is this for business or personal use?
No, this is just a personal at home.
Okay. So buy maybe an A, B, and a C stick, right? Three different sticks. And use stick A and then put it aside, back up to stick B, put that one aside, back up to stick C. And then when you do that during different sessions, you'll rotate that backup so you'll have three shots at your data rather than one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah, it'd be a lot easier than using CDs. Burning to CDs is really, really old technology these days.
Well, like I'm Bob old, said. Too.
Hey, old is fine, but there's no reason we can't teach an old dog a new trick here.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay, I'm a long-time listener. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure, Ron. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, because sometimes we get stuck in a rut. We just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
I might set up encryption on those thumb drives as well.
Well, you can buy them encrypted. Actually,
well,
good point. As we talk about backup, I mean, you got to be careful about knowing where your data is and how it's being backed up. In Ron's case, he's probably doing a file-level backup, meaning he's got a Quicken program and he's maybe chosen a directory within the Quicken program to back up to that CD. That's fine as long as you know that your file is going there. Unfortunately, often, and even in our practice at Tab, we could tell a customer, look, you really need a full system image-based backup for your system versus a file-level backup. A full image-based system backup is more expensive than a file-level backup. The benefit of a full image-based backup is we get the whole system constantly, and we know it's there and protected. A file-level backup, if a third party makes a change to the application you're using, let's say you're using an application like QuickBooks or what have you, and there's a directory that you've created, and then the consultant makes a new company directory that is not part of your file-level backup, you might think you're backing up your stuff, and you're not. So it's very important to be very certain about what you're doing for a backup. And of course, doing a test restore is a good way to know that. But don't just assume your data is being backed up. A full system backup, especially for servers, file servers, and what have you, and important workstations, will capture the entire thing by default versus a file-level backup, which who knows where the data is being relocated. Different user saves a file in a different place. And if it's not part of your file selection, there's no magic anybody can do if that drive fails. I mean, you can try to get it recovered, but it's expensive. Who's on the line there, Bob? Anybody?
All right, let's have a look.
We're wide open. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, okay. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Quick little news article here. Cops were called. This is cops. I mean, gosh, these poor cops have so much to do these days. Cops were called to a Singapore golf club after wrongdoers used scripts to book popular time slots. So basically, you're finding computer hackers were logging into a Singapore golf club, and they were actually breaking the company's Computer Misuse Act, and they were using scripts to book up all the course slots within seconds of them becoming available. So if you wanted the best, time for your tee shots there, Singapore Island Country Club dialed 999, which is, I guess, their 911, an emergency, after declaring that its online golf session booking system had been compromised thanks to millions of online booking attempts daily. So people were literally writing scripts. More than 50% of the online golf bookings were completed within seconds. Doesn't it feel like when you try to get a concert ticket, and, somebody says they're coming to such and such venue, and all the tickets are gone. Us little guys can't even find a seat in the nosebleed. Can't even do it in like 5 seconds.
I'll give you a story when we go offline.
So the Singapore Golf Club called the police down there to try to catch these guys who were going on and getting the best time slots. Hey, if you got the technology and you can use the technology, more power to you if your system is set up that way. But they're breaking the rules, according to Singapore, and you know what they do over there. I think they cane you still. Don't they cane you? Is that Singapore that get the caning?
I think you're right.
Yeah, you get smack on the hiney there. So we'll see what happens to those guys. Most likely those hackers deserve a good smack on the hiney. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're here live till 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Feel free to get online. A couple lines open. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Jan in Berlin first. What's going on, Jan?
I've got a HP printer, and I've got a Mac. And when I first plugged it in, it loaded, saw the printer right away, loaded up, worked fine.
Yeah, is it working locally, Jan? Plugged it right into the
yeah,
Apple?
Yeah, plug it right into the computer.
All right.
I took a trip, came back, it's supportable, and I hooked it up. It doesn't even see the printer. Hmm. I took the printer downstairs. I have a Windows downstairs. Printer is fine. Cables are fine, near as I can tell.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking for, I know Mac's probably not your forte, but some reason it doesn't want to see it, and I don't know what to do about that. I've looked on YouTube and that, and nobody really has anything that matches what I'm looking for.
Is it connecting via, I'm going to ask, USB? I think Apple uses USB ports, right?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Do they have more than one USB port on your Apple device that you can connect it to?
Yeah, and I've tried them both.
Really?
I've tried different cables even.
Have you uninstalled the equivalent of uninstalling that printer from the Mac so it's not there, rebooted with it not installed, and then tried to start over again?
Yeah, I took it off. I've taken it off and put it back on because the printer doesn't, I don't know what it doesn't like, but... And then it works fine. The printer gets screwed up if I leave it on all the time. I don't know why, but...
Well, and so when I say take it off, have you removed the printer configuration from the Apple device? Is there a way to go in with Windows?
Well, it goes in and, yeah, it asks if you want to delete the printer.
And you've done that?
I delete it.
And when you now when you plug it back in, the Apple still refuses to see it?
It doesn't see it.
Okay. Do you have any other USB devices you can plug into your Apple to see if your USB ports are working?
Yeah. As far as I know, they're working because the, what else goes into that? The,
like a camera or anything like that?
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're not working only because you've proven the printer's fine and the cable's fine because you brought it to a Windows device. Your Apple may have a physical problem with its USB ports. That's my only theory here because the Apple operating system, I'm sure, is fine, but the actual USB port could be damaged. Maybe you shorted it when you plugged in the USB. It does happen. You can have an electrical or static charge that shorts the port out.
Well, I'm not plugging it directly into the computer. I'm plugging it into a thing that collects all these things.
Oh, a docking port.
Docking station.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you have a USB port directly on the computer? I'm sure you do. Or is Apple so slick and clean that they don't have any holes at all?
That one does.
That one does? So it could doesn't. Be, yeah, if you can try it, plug it directly into the computer, USB, without the dock enabled, and see if it works. Your dock's USB ports could be damaged. Or, last thing, these computers have to use drivers to speak to docks that are connected to them because they are like artificial appendages. They're sticking in the, they're emulating, they're connecting and saying, hey, you've got another USB port, even though it's kind of a virtual interface, and that's how it extends those ports. So there could be a problem with the driver that runs the docking station for you too. But I would first see if you can plug your USB-based printer into the actual port on your Mac that's not connected to the docking station. If you have luck there, then you're back to, and we have some, we can put some links up here that Bob's found as far as doing some driver setup for the Mac, but I think it's your USB ports on that docking station.
Okay, we'll give that a shot. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks,
Jan. Eric. All right, let's move on to Mike in Windsor Locks next. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing? Love your show.
Thanks. Good.
A couple of things. Whenever I get an update from my Microsoft, it has a tendency to mess up my connection with Google. And I can't load Chrome or it just, you know, it has. Sometimes I even can't load Chrome or if it loads nothing that I had saved in, like, email passwords or email, you know, login names get saved.
Yikes.
Sometimes I can't even access Chrome. So I have to go back to a restore point and, you know, bring it back to another place where it worked before. And then that's even questionable. Sometimes that doesn't come back and sometimes it does. Is there some way to one, shut off updates so they don't ever come back? Because I know I've tried to do that, and they give you a date. You can shut it off until this date, and then you have to update.
Right.
But is there any way to just stop them from updating at all, you know, forever and just stay with the ones that you have? Or?
Well, Microsoft, you know, eventually is going to force it down on you. You could disconnect your computer from the Internet, but that makes it less useful.
I'd like to do that, but yeah. It's not quite as useful.
Yeah. Are you talking about Windows 10, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So you don't want to turn off your updates.
No.
And I'll tell you why.
No.
So their updates are I was working on a computer the other day, and it was at version 18.09, and Windows Update was broken. So they have new software at this company. And the new software needs version 19.09 minimum.
Right.
So they were two versions back. And so I had to fix Windows Update in order to get this software to work.
How do you know what version you have?
Down in the search, when you click on the little flag, if you will, or the little window down
it's
in the
It's a window.
Corner,
I think it's a window.
Yeah, just type in WinVer, W-I-N-V-E-R, and just hit enter. And it'll come up, and it'll tell you what version you have.
And your issues could be related to the update, or they could be a Chrome problem.
Build 19041.450.
Yeah, 1900. You said 1904?
19041.
Yeah, 1904.
1904, okay.
That's the one you have.
I shouldn't say that. It should say Microsoft Windows version like 1909 or 1903.
Well, he's got four.
1904, it wasn't a version.
Well, it says version 2004.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, there we go.
So you're on the latest version.
What, do you have some smudge on your glasses, dude?
Well, in parentheses, it has OS build 19.19041.450.
Oh, gotcha. No, yeah, you're running 2000. So you're running the latest, most buggiest version of Windows 10.
Oh, so there's a newer version?
No, I don't think so.
That's the latest version.
That's the
right
latest
now.
One. It's the latest and greatest.
I'm waiting for them to come out with 2009.
Okay, you mean it's the lamest and greatest.
Yeah, lamest and greatest. That's a good point. So, yeah, okay. I mean, your issues could be related to that update. I don't even know where I am. Let me see what I'm doing. What are you running, Bob?
Well, I'm at 1909.
And I'm running 1909 as well. And I've had relatively good success with 1909. I am not going to go to 2004. So you went and updated past that. You can try to go back. But, again, your issues may not have anything to do with that update. It could just be a Chrome problem, and I'd tell you to uninstall Chrome and reinstall Chrome before going back in your restore point. I would tell you to focus on Chrome as being the issue, because 2004 has its issues, but I think in this case you could have a Chrome problem.
Okay. Good. All right. We'll try that first. Thanks so much.
Good luck, Mike.
Yeah, take care.
Yeah, you too. So we're going to step out for a quick break here, get back to your calls. Right, Joe? You said 27 and it's 28. There's the sounder. It's really hard to work remotely, guys. I know we've been doing it since March, but I can't see Joey in the window. He's usually right across the glass, and we're in the hermetically sealed studios here in East Hartford, and he's in the, I'm not sure how they're sealing the studios in Farmington, doing all this through a bunch of technology to get from point A to point B. It's been working great. But it is hard as far as flow goes. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page, so you can see both of our mugs. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Then Dr. Alessi will be in from Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And so stick around for that. Then Garden Talk is back too, Len and Lisa. Man, what a rough spring. No lawn, no water, nothing. I mean, nothing's growing. Everything's just a fried up mess.
Oh, yeah. We're really hit hard in Bristol.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah. So, but I'm sure Len and Lisa will talk about growing something somewhere. I don't know how, so stick around for that at noon.
Don't know where you're going to get the water for it.
Right. Let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to Bill in Westbrook first. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, gentlemen. Well, I took the plunge. I bought a new computer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple of questions today if I can.
Go ahead.
Two of them are involving the virus, antivirus thing.
Yep.
I have Spectrum as my internet provider, and they provide a free security suite, which I think is McAfee, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've downloaded that.
Yeah.
And the only thing on that is it has when I go to their security suite homepage or whatever, it says, protection is active, browsing protection is active, blah, 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 everything's fine. And then one thing, it says browser extension is not in use, set up now.
Mm-hmm.
So I click on the setup now, and the computer came with Microsoft Edge as a browser, which I started using, and I like it. I hope you're going to tell me it's okay, but this thing says Microsoft Edge does not support extensions. So
I guess you're going to have to not use Edge or not use extensions. It's okay that you don't use the browser extension.
Okay.
Because
it actually,
go ahead.
This goes on to say that it, you know, extension, even if it's not installed in your browser, it's still working in the background according to this, and you'll see error pages instead of specific directions or something like that. So
yeah, right. So you don't need those extensions.
Great.
Yeah, I would say not to fight it. If you really want to use Edge, you can. What Microsoft did was they punted. Microsoft's browser has been horrible ever since it came out, and they went and used the Chromium system to actually produce the new Edge browser, which is built on Chrome.
You know, that might be my question. Do you have the old Edge or the new Edge?
He's got the new Edge.
You got the new Edge with the wavy?
Yeah, the wavy little circles. Is that the icon? It doesn't have that nice...
Is it the solid blue E, or is it like an E that looks like a wave?
Yeah, if it even looks like an E, it looks like a little swirl to me.
Where would I see that? I'm not sure.
And your icons. When you click on the icon for Edge, that's all he's asking. I would bet it's the new one because it's a brand new system. But the point is, like you said, run your McAfee that comes with it, you know, local on your machine. You're fine. You don't need to add the browser extensions.
Okay. Now, number two about on the antivirus is I click on the hidden icons or whatever it says, and Windows security does show up, and it says, you know, no action required. I was trying to get rid of Windows security totally.
Well, Windows security, so it's just that you have security within Windows. That's just an overall understanding of your security. You're not using Defender. It'll be automatically turned off once a commercial product is installed, so you're fine. Nothing to turn off, but it's just showing you what your security is. Correct, Bob?
Yes, that's correct. It's more than just the antivirus. Also, right. Your firewall, and then there's other stuff to prevent you from running dangerous applications.
Right. So you still want to have that running, or that you can't change that anyways. It's more just of an indicator.
Great. And one last question. I was using. I bought a Seagate exterior drive, auxiliary drive, whatever, you know, plug-in drive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using that to my old PC, I've been trying to filter pictures and stuff, you know, documents and stuff, whatever. I've been sending it to the Seagate and then seeing what it is and getting rid of some of the old crap and then finally transferring it into the new machine.
All right.
And I'm wondering, on my old machine, it's funny, you mentioned Office 2013. I have Office 2013. It was...
Sure.
It was provided by my company, who I no longer work for.
Oh, then you can't use it legally.
Well, that's what I'm wondering is, maybe you can't tell me that. I'm just wondering, is there a way I could transfer that to the Seagate and then transfer
no.
it to my new machine?
No, and even if I could, you'd be breaking the law, but no, you can't. Whenever you transfer to a new system, you need to reinstall the software. So in this case, it's your company-provided software. You shouldn't use it to be legal. I mean, we're not the software police, but if you had the disks and the key that came with it originally, you could reinstall it on your machine, but you can't copy it over.
But you still have to have the
registration.
No, the email account or the Microsoft account or Live account or whatever email account that it was used to register it.
Right.
Otherwise, it won't activate.
So what we're saying, Bill, is get off your wallet and buy your own Office suite.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Also, before you go, you're setting up security. Make sure you configure OpenDNS. If you don't, it's on our Computer Talk with Tab site. If you go back to prior weeks, you'll see a link there as to how to do it. Configure OpenDNS. It'll be a much safer way to surf the internet.
Okay.
Trust us on that one. It's probably the most important thing you can do.
Great.
All right, Bill?
Thank you.
You got it, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, unfortunately, when it comes to software, they deserve to get paid. I mean, Microsoft is a $1 trillion company, I know, but they deserve to get paid for their software. Once, I would contend, not rent it forever. But, you know, so many folks try to you know, reuse or what have you. Microsoft's gotten wise to it, and they're actually able to shut down your software. So if you've used the same key multiple times in multiple areas, you'll find your software doesn't work anymore. And that's because Microsoft's like, hey, I see that same copy over there, and I see that same copy over there. How do they see it, you wonder? Well, you're connected to the internet, my friend. And it comes in and talks to them and says, hey, you know what these guys are doing? So try to use the new software. And again, Office 2021 is out. They're not going to make you rent it. I think it's coming out. I haven't seen it yet, but they're saying they're going to make it available. There's no way they're making it available early. So it'll be in 2021. I mean, there's no way they're going to offer it.
Probably
now.
January.
I don't even know about that, but maybe. But you buy it once, and 2019 is out there as well, too.
Maybe they'll release it just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, who knows? All right, let's go quickly on to Bill in West Granby. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, Eric, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Hey, Eric, I had this Roku Ultra box, and it worked so... It was hardwired, and then to the TV, it worked beautiful for cutting the cable. So I decided to buy a TCL TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't require the box. It's a wireless connection.
Right.
But now it's cutting out.
Yep.
You know, the connection's cutting out. You cannot wire to it, which I found out after talking with the TCL people. And in a test yesterday, I have a modem router that has 2, 6, and 5G. And I'm getting signal intermittently. And when I hooked up, the technician suggested I hook up the hotspot with my cell phone, and I got perfect signal all the time.
Right.
So somewhere along the line, it's either in my router or at my cable company, Cox, that I think I'm getting a problem. I don't know why. I went to go to speed test, and the thing tells me the server's down.
Hmm.
30
well, I'll tell you.
Is a speed test.
Yeah, number one, you want to make sure your TV is connecting over the 2.4 gigahertz SSID, number one. Do not let it...
Not the
5G. Not the 5G. If it's at distance, it doesn't do well.
Okay, I'm getting 33 megabytes on the 2.4.
Beautiful. That's plenty of bandwidth to do internet. So if you can get it on the 2.4 and get it connected, you should do okay to do your... To do your streaming, is the router yours? The Wi-Fi device
yes,
yours,
is.
Or is it Cox's?
I own it. I bought it about 3 years ago.
Okay. Have you updated the firmware lately?
No, I don't know how to. I'm not sure I know how to do that.
So what you need to do is go into the configuration of the router. You got to log in. Hopefully, you didn't use the default password when you configured it up. You put your own password in there. Do you have that somewhere?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. So you go in there, and you should be able to update the firmware. When you update the firmware, you're going to improve the configuration of your device if it has any improving available. And it might then better talk to the wireless device that's plugged into your TV. And while you're in there, if it's not already set, make sure you set your device to automatically update the firmware. And maybe it is already doing it. If you notice that it's already set, and when you click on check firmware date, or check firmware status, it'll either tell you it has new stuff out there or it'll tell you it has to update. Do the update.
Okay.
See if you get improvement.
Right. All right.
That's what I would start with, Bill.
Okay, I appreciate it, Eric. And Bob, thank you very much. I really enjoy the show and been listening a long time.
Thank you, sir. We've been doing it a long time.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks. Have a great Saturday.
Have a nice
All right,
weekend.
We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. We're here till 11. So you'll have time to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk on WTIC. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. And then at noon, Lynn and Lisa will be in with Garden Talk. So stick around here at WTIC. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday morning. And we thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Without you guys, Bob and I would have to be talking about our kids. And that gets a little boring. So let's go over to AJ in South Windsor and see what he's got cooking. What's going on, AJ?
Good morning. I have three quick questions.
Sure.
And yes or no answers are acceptable.
Okay.
If I go to Proton Mail,
mm-hmm.
can I keep my ATT.com email address? That's number one.
No, sir.
Number two, I have Malwarebytes on my machine. If I install WebRoots, is there a compatibility or a conflict issue?
Yes, sir.
And the third thing is the service guy put Avast on my machine. And I understand from previous discussion that that's not a good thing or preferable thing. Or how do I uninstall it? Can it uninstall easily, or do I have to do a Buzzy Berkeley routine with it? So pick whatever you want.
Well, yeah, like I said, with your email, no, you cannot keep your email if you go to Proton, because you're going to be at their mailbox. You can be at your last name. You can actually purchase the ability to be at your last name or whatever they have available, but you can't be at AT&T. WebRoot or any antivirus will conflict with Malwarebytes, so I would tell you to only pick one. If you like Malwarebytes antivirus, you can leave it. And right now, if you've got Avast on there too, remove it, because it is conflicting with Malwarebytes.
So do I just take the Avast files and put it into the trash?
No. Bob, you want to tell them how to uninstall a program?
Yeah, okay. You got to go to hit the little start button and go to settings, open your control panel. And in the control panel, go to programs and features and find the Avast, which is typically in alphabetical order, so it should be up near the top. Click on it, and then click on change or whatever it says up at the top, and it'll give you the option to uninstall it.
Okay, thank you. One last statement. The trouble with people is they think the experts know what they're doing.
And that's probably a true statement, yeah. You're right.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, AJ. You're welcome.
Right.
Yeah. That is the trouble with people. And then again, everyone's an expert. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll refresh the screen there, Bob, for me, so we'll see if anybody else is online. While we're waiting for your call, another article I want to bring up. American Airlines CEO trashes Zoom. Says it'll make more people fly. Is Zoom the future of business relationships? Not according to American's Doug Parker. So, of course, the airlines are getting just destroyed. I mean, you know, you've got places like Connecticut that pretty much says wherever you go, you can't come back. You must be quarantined for 14 days. So everyone's afraid. Everyone's very afraid. And the airlines are dropping down. Like, they're down, I think they're down like still 75%.
People are driving.
Oh, sure. But again, whatever. So, of course, this poor guy, Doug Parker, is chiming in saying, look, Zoom meetings, he thinks are awful. And they are. I'll tell you, I hate doing Zoom meetings because it's just not the same as being with a person. But they work for working remotely. It's got a place for that. And he is saying that he's hoping that people start to get back and say, look, we need to do business in person. You know, conferences again. You know, those are pretty important aspects of business to keep the airlines flying. And he's, you know, slamming Zoom. But look, buddy, we're going to be in the planes before you know it. I'm hopping on a plane on Friday. So, I mean, I'm happy to do it. You know, the calculus that I've done is really, you know, airline pilots and flight attendants who are flying during the pandemic, 25% of the planes are flying. You're not seeing any kind of hotspots with them dying. You're not. So I'm not worried. If there was a big issue, they'd be dropping like flies. No pun intended.
With the schedule so low, they have plenty of time to do maintenance now.
That's true. Well, they're laying all the maintenance guys off because they've got so many planes parked. So we're going to get out there. My family's getting out there and doing what we can. And, you know, you look at the state here. You got a crisis looking for an emergency. I don't know. Get out there and do what you can, whenever our governor will let you do. We got to get this economy rolling because it's in huge trouble. It was already in trouble before the pandemic. Just imagine when we quote-unquote come out. So I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Joey, for producing back there in Farmington. And thank you, Mike G, for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you follow us on Facebook and like Tab Computer Systems, Mark Zuckerberg may let our news articles get into your news feed if he deems them worthy.
See you next month.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.